So let's walk through this passage today. Let's walk through it together and get an idea of the lesson God wants us to learn from this Walk to Emmaus event that happened the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, what questions might you have about this story after watching the video of this passage? I always have lots of questions in my head. And so, two that came to mind first is when you read the scripture, they identify one of the disciples as Cleopas. Since he is not named among the original 12 disciples, I wondered, who is this Cleopas? And then the second question is, why are they going to Emmaus in the first place? What is this place? Why are they rushing off to Emmaus the same day that Christ's tomb was found empty? Now, the passage begins with, "Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem." 7 miles. "And talking with each other about all these things that had happened." So who exactly are these two? There is some speculation. If you look at your bulletin cover, you will see one interpretation of who that painter, that classical painter, thought they looked like. And remember, in the video too, they assumed that the two disciples were men. But the passage doesn't say that. The Bible interpretation that you see on the bulletin cover too also adds a young servant boy and a dog, which I think is awesome. The painter added a dog to the picture. Now, the Bible scholars who delve deeply into these kinds of questions found that, according to Wikipedia, the historian Eusebius of Caesarea, and in seminary we had to study the historical writings of Eusebius of Caesarea, he quoted the earlier chronicle of Hegesippus, who wrote in the year AD 180, just 180 years after the death of Jesus, that he had interviewed the grandsons of Jude the Apostle and learned that Cleopas was the brother of Joseph, husband of the Virgin Mary. Now that opens up our eyes, doesn't it? I think that's a fascinating finding, that this might explain why this two disciples were so important to Jesus. This was his non-biological uncle Cleopas. And then the other unnamed disciple, biblical historians believe it was Christ's Aunt Mary. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, she is identified in the book of John, chapter 19, verse 25, where it reads, "Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene." So there she is identified in the book of John. Actually, according to these historians, it was Mother Mary's sister-in-law, but the scripture writers just kind of skipped over the in-law part, it sounds like. So Jesus' Aunt Mary was one of the women who went to Christ's tomb and found it empty. This puts her in Jerusalem at the same time as her husband Cleopas. So it makes sense that she would be with him then on the road back to Emmaus, because that is where they lived. That has been recorded in historical documents too. So this fascinating information is kind of like the Forensic Files TV story, isn't it? Where you put together like a puzzle this evidence to get really the whole picture of what was happening at this time, which really was a crisis time in the life of the disciples, They were all in shock. They were all trying to figure out what to do next. I imagine them like running with their heads down, actually, out of Jerusalem back to their hometown of Emmaus. They would have probably had their faces covered and been trying to get out as fast as they could when they saw what happened to Jesus. My son sent me a video yesterday of my little grandson learning how to ride a bike. And he's got his head down, fascinated, watching the wheels go around. And my son keeps saying, "Put your head up, put your head up. Watch where you're going, watch where you're going." And even though that's a fun way to have your head down, I imagine these two probably having their head down, running as fast as they could, looking at their feet. Now, this information is fascinating, and reading a study by Dr. James Boyce was really helpful to me to find out some of this information. He was once the senior minister of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia years ago. Now, this is a very famous historic church in Philadelphia. And now Dr. Boyce has a radio broadcast called the Bible Study Hour. Now, this radio show has been on the radio forever, because when I saw this, I remembered that my mother used to listen to this on the radio at home when I was small. It's just called the Bible Study Hour. And it was in his broadcast called The Way to Emmaus that he says that even though Mary, wife of Cleopas, was at the tomb with Mary Magdalene when they discovered Jesus was not there, she still joined her husband to flee Jerusalem because he was too frightened to stay and see what was going to happen next. They had not yet heard about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene in the garden. And when Cleopas's wife returned from the empty tomb, they just packed up and fled. Now, why didn't this story in Luke mention that it was Cleopas and his wife on the road to Emmaus? Her name was not important in that era or in that culture. Those who understand the effects of extreme patriarchal society that existed when the Bible was written are really not surprised that the woman in the pair of disciples was not named. She would not have been considered as important as Cleopas in the mind of the person who shared this story with Luke. And that's who it was dependent upon. Yet they knew that Cleopas lived in Emmaus, so it makes sense that he and his wife would be going back there together after the crucifixion of their nephew, Jesus. The story goes on to say, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with him, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" Jesus is pretty sly, isn't he? I have a nephew, Kirk, who would do something like this. He pretends to not know anything to find out what they understand about what has just happened that same day. The Bible says they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And Jesus replies, "What things?" So Cleopas proceeds to tell Jesus what happened and how disappointed they were with the crucifixion. They hoped Jesus would be the Messiah who freed the Jews from oppression by the Roman Empire. They probably thought Christ's body had just been stolen. But Christ straightened them out, and he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." So now at this point, they still don't realize this is Jesus. And it's understandable because last time they saw him, he was emaciated, covered with blood, hanging from the cross. But they must have had a feeling that they could learn something from this very smart man. And so Luke writes that as they came near the village of Emmaus, to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going onward. Jesus, again, is a good actor here, pretending that he's going to leave them. But they urge him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. It was important to Jesus that this couple knew that he had risen, not only because they were his relatives and disciples, but because they started out on this walk very heartbroken, feeling lost and confused. And this is what Jesus does. He shows up for the brokenhearted. The passage says, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and ran back to Jerusalem." Remember, that's 7 miles. "And they found the 11 and the companions together. And they were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon Peter.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Now, this Road to Emmaus story is powerful. And when I was on the tour of Israel, it was late at night, and our bus was really off schedule. But when we were told by our tour guide that our bus was driving on the same road to Emmaus, our group convinced the bus driver to stop so we could get out and pick up stones that were along the side of the road. So I am sharing with you stones from the road of Emmaus. Very simple, some of them, very beautiful, other ones. But it was so meaningful to us to have an opportunity to pick up and look at what these disciples would have been walking on. Now, it's an asphalt road in the middle, but there are stones on the side. And you can pass it down, Bill, so others can see. Each one is a little bit different, but if you imagine Jesus walking on these stones and walking with these disciples and see, here, did I already give you one? Okay. And see how these still exist today. And I think this lesson for us too is that this story is still for us today. So you guys are going to have to share and pass these around. The Road to Emmaus story reminds us that many of us go off the path of faith during a crisis when we are scared and confused. It's easy to retreat and isolate away. We let our fears keep us from feeling the presence of God, even when Jesus is near. So in this story, Jesus sets his disciples back on the course, first by reminding them of the scriptures that they knew so well from their Jewish upbringing. And then he opened their eyes and their understanding about how he truly was the Messiah. They recognized him when he nurtured them and shared a meal with them as he had done so many times before during the crucifixion. So when we recognize that it is God who is sustaining us, who is providing for us, then we remember God is with us. So with every piece of bread you receive, with every little taste of juice or water, that's your reminder that God is with you. But God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we ask or in the timing that we hope for. But God is with us always, helping the whole universe flow towards harmony and goodness. Even if the slow work of God is so slow we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel of time, we are to trust that God is good and loves us all unconditionally. So the walk to Emmaus for Cleopas and his wife Mary started out in disbelief and sadness, but the road ended in joyful excitement and love when they became aware that Jesus had been walking alongside them all along that way. Reverend Sarah Condon says it this way: "We serve a good and gracious God who does not abandon us when we are lost and confused, but instead longs to make his love for us clear." We show up to church with our own agendas, sometimes confused, sometimes exhausted, sometimes full of doubt, waiting for some kind of magic to happen, yet always hoping our connection to God will somehow be enhanced by taking this time and space to be here with one another. And I believe God appreciates the time and effort it takes for you all to gather here on Sunday mornings and other times too. God does appreciate your presence here, reaching out. So open your eyes to the presence of Jesus here and everywhere. Trust he is with you always. See that he is love, and study the scriptures that show you he has risen indeed. Christ continues to reach out to us today to help us rise. See that Jesus is beyond time and space and also is in the eyes of all God's loving creation around us. Feel Jesus in your heart and soul. And be aware, Jesus is walking with you. He will help you overcome your fears and your doubts on your journey through life when you open yourself up to faith in him.